¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Yeah.
We're recording this. Welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. And hey, we're recording this on 16 de septiembre.
Septiembre, let's go.
Real Mexican Independence Day. El Día de la Independencia de México. So, México, felicidades. Happy birthday otra vez. Feliz cumpleaños. I mean, everybody. Otro grito a México. Viva México. Viva México.
Viva.
So I'm Jorge Georgie Martin. Primos Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes. ¿Cómo estamos?
What's up? Good. In the house. Ready to rock.
Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer y estamos aquí a servirlos. Make sure you're checking out our original content on familiaffp.com, as well as our social media channels, @FamiliaFFP on Twitter and Instagram, and our Familia FFP Facebook page. Well, as I mentioned, hey, felicidades, México. It's awesome. 16th of September. It's really cool that it's the real Independence Day, not Cinco de Mayo when we launched this thing.
That's right. And the one thing about Mexican Independence Day that I miss is the De La Hoya fight. You remember like 20 years ago, it seemed like every 16 de septiembre there was a De La Hoya fight. He was fighting somebody and it was a party and, you know, somewhere around there was always. So, yeah, that's what I missed the most, I think.
Yeah, I just saw Tim Bradley on the TV, too. And I was like, dang, those were the days when Oscar was fighting, man.
Yeah, man.
I heard he's talking about a comeback.
I heard
Tyson's
that too.
Coming back, but
dude looks so young. Oscar De La Hoya, like, oh my goodness! I hope I have his genes somehow.
It's like the senior. It's like the senior tour on the PGA. It's like, oh, you can still do it as a senior, like as an older person. So yeah, stay in shape these days, man.
That dude looks young.
Look at Tom Brady.
Though.
Look at Tom Brady, man. It's just, you know,
look at Tom Brady.
Age ain't nothing but a number, man. If you're exercising, you're eating right. All that good stuff. You can
look at AP. Look
you
at
can do your thing. Exactly.
Well, you know, Mexico. You know, hey, we're gonna after this, we'll all do a shot of tequila and just to pay homage to the home country.
That's right.
And
that's
la
right.
La raza.
Let's go.
Viva la revolución. Hey, Ricky, I just got to give you a heads up. You've been replaced as the most persistent trader.
That's not possible. No one trades more than Rick or tries to.
Yeah, or
they obviously aren't going to offer better ones. That's why they have to offer.
Well, it's in one of my other leagues. This friend of mine, great dude, but man, he has been on me offering me what he offered me. AJ Green for Antonio Gibson. He offered me. He offered me a running back for Jonathan Taylor. He's just
offered you who for Gibson?
AJ Green.
And you didn't take that?
No, I don't trust AJ Green this year.
No one trusts AJ Green, man. He has to push off to get
Gibson's
open.
Gibson's like 2 weeks from being a free agency by. So
I don't think that's going to be the case. They drafted him to use him. They didn't draft him to be giving the ball to Peyton Barber every week.
Right.
So
that was a fluke. Yeah, that was a what did we say last
Barber
week?
Barber and McKissick.
That's a mentira.
Yeah, plus in that league, I've got James Conner, so I got to be really, really careful with my running backs. So, but I'm getting like two trade offers a day and different ones. I'm like, reject. Finally, I texted him. I said, look, give me a real offer and then maybe, in text and maybe we'll get there. But it's been pretty cool. So, Ricky, you know, you got to step up your trading game.
It gets tiring sending all these trades, man. So I feel them. And he's probably, he's good for him because he's used to rejection by now. So it's good practice.
He's numb to it.
And the last one, before we get into the real show, I made an appearance on, I was invited to join La Cueva del Fan by Mauricio Gutierrez and his co-host, Juan Ramon Yaca and Adrian Alpanseque and Chato Romero. So great guys, just a blast. You know what? It was, we talked for like an hour and a half, and you know, I was the only one in the United States. The other four were in Mexico and Mexico, and you know, they helped let us just kind of promote Familia FFB. They asked me about myself. You know, I told them a little bit about my time with the Dodgers too, because they were obviously curious about Fernando. And
They're in Mexicali, right? You said they were in Mexicali. Are they in Mexicali?
They're like all spread around. One is in Mexicali. But, you know, it was just really cool talking fantasy and with people in Spanish. And it was the longest period of time I'd ever talked fantasy with anybody. And it was just like, I was so totally impressed with how, you know, deeply they studied the game and how in depth and how intellectual they were. I mean, this was like, you know, some parts it was like a physics conversation, and so impressed. So
what's research in Spanish?
Estudio.
Oh, there you go. Hashtag estudio.
Yeah. There you go. So it was great guys. Just a wonderful time. Just sharing, you know. And I even gave a shout out to the familia, and gave a shout out to Pegueros, a little grito. And funny thing was, I got a tweet today from somebody in Tapatitlán, right, the next town over from Pegueros. So
Gotta figure that.
So it was really cool. It's so great to and they think it's great what we're doing, you know, doing an English language fantasy football podcast, but focusing on our familia, focusing on Mexico, Mexico, and our heritage. And so they're just kind of like, hey, just keep pumping.
Salute to that, man.
Yeah. So definitely. You know, they all of them speak English. So there's
going to be. All right. So I can hang out with them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you'd love them.
I'm the new generation. The Mexican American generation Z.
Zero Spanish.
Zero Spanish.
Z for zero Spanish. Well, you do understand this next word, because we're getting in some cheese, man. So Michael Thomas looks like he's going to miss several weeks. I mean, he wants to play through it, but come on, man. High ankle sprain. Yo no sé.
Yeah. I think they have enough weapons to where they don't need him to rush it. God, this has to hurt so bad to so many people. He was a lot of people's first round pick. So it's like, and I say this about the injury. Just wait. Let it heal.
Let it heal. Yeah.
They don't have anyone Michael Thomas like on the team as far as someone who can just go up and grab the ball. But I think Drew Brees is comfortable enough with Emmanuel Sanders and
Traquan Smith.
Not Smith, because he does not like him. Jared Cook.
And Kamara. Don't forget Kamara.
Yeah, Kamara coming out of the backfield.
I mean, like, as far as like in the when you get to the receivers, I don't like Traquan Smith. He got me two zeros two times in a row.
Yeah, but you're jaded. You know, that's not really fair. That's not fair analysis, because he screwed you over. But you know, he's definitely going to use
Traquan Smith is not on the waiver wire for any of you. No one is looking at him or picking him up. So.
Well, I will bet you that he gets some catches. I bet you get some targets next week.
He gets 75 yards.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, are we talking beer bet?
Always down for a beer bet. Minus 75 yards.
Under 75 yards?
Under 75 yards for Traquan.
You think he'll get under 75 yards?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I think I'll take the over.
There you go.
We got a beer bet. Let's go.
All we got to do is remember all the other beer bets.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel bad for Latavius Murray. I mean, obviously, it was like watching, you know, a train crash in slow motion. Like, Latavius goes down. He just kind of rolls over. Michael Thomas is just kind of standing there. You just see it. Like, you just see it about to happen. Like, oh, my God, he's going to roll over into the guy's leg. And there it was. And he just rolled him over. And he just kind of hopped. But you saw the angle kind of twist, like kind of in a weird way. It's just total freak accident.
It could have looked worse.
Yeah, the play was already over. It was just such a weird, just like weird thing. Just total freak accident.
And you know, the game was out of hand. Yeah. So there was just no reason.
Yeah, just
no
weird, reason for that man. To happen. Yeah, yeah,
no
exactly.
No reason for that to happen. And
wishing him well. Hope he heals up quick.
It's one of many for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, well, you know, we got Chris Godwin in the league's concussion protocol, which
is he really?
Yeah. Apparently he took a helmet hit last week, and now he's in the protocol, which to me that means he's missing this week, which hurts
me. To me, it's alarming as to why they didn't catch it during the game. So was he able to hide it, or was the team trying to hide it as far as the trainers? And did happen during practice? How?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it happened in practice. That's a good point.
Personally, I'd want to know when his last concussion was, because the closer those two concussions are, you're definitely taking a week or three off.
Yeah.
And look at what happened to Jahvid Best. So concussions are one of the worst injuries a player can get, if not the worst. Obviously, Alex Smith's is
can be horrible. Yes. But can be career ending.
Concussions are the silent killer of these careers. So I love Godwin, so I hope all goes well.
Yep.
Yeah, no, you just, and you know, this is going to mean more time for more targets for Mike Evans, really, as long as he's healthy. So definitely not the start that TB12 wanted to have with all these new weapons now. I hope it means more OJ Howard, because I just picked him up in another league. So.
Yeah, because he's not throwing to Gronk.
Yeah. Like that's the league where I had to drop Jarwin because I didn't have a backup. But okay, so guys, Allen Robinson wants a trade after one week.
That was just weird.
I saw that and I was like, where is this coming from?
I don't know. Is this like hurt feelings? Is Anthony Miller? What did Anthony Miller have? He was just, every time I looked up, Anthony Miller was catching a ball. So it just seemed like, I don't know if he's feeling. Like, you know, he's not the main guy in town, you know, like an OBJ. You know, if he's playing diva, that's not going to work. You know, if he thought he was coming into Chicago and he's going to, you know, be the target hog and, you know, get, you know, be the man on the Bears. And then here comes Anthony Miller to get, you know, Anthony Miller gets the game winning touchdown and he's getting, you know, he's getting hyped up on SportsCenter, you know, top plays. And Allen Robinson's not. Is that part of it? You know, is he just complaining and just kind of being a diva? Like, no, I want to be the man. We were in Chicago, you know, one of the biggest, you know, media markets in the United States, and he wants to be that guy. And if he's not, is this just him complaining?
It's got to be more than that. He had five receptions to Miller's four. I mean,
it's contract. It's always good. It's something like this.
And that's why it's like, it's not about, you know, being the face. It's going to be money.
Right.
And he's going to try to blow it up more if he just doesn't want to be on a bad team, especially when half of the league out there are all gunslingers nowadays, and he's on Trubisky's team. So it's like, shoot, man, get me on Minshew's team.
I was
get
looking me at on that.
Anyone else's?
It just seems like, you know, with the league, and we talked about this briefly. We can kind of talk about it real quick. The fact that there's not that much crowd noise. I mean, these quarterbacks were just putting up numbers this past weekend, and you know, it seems like a lot more receivers were like, oh, this guy got two touchdowns and two touchdowns here, and this guy had two touchdowns and this guy had two touchdowns. Like, it was just like you said, it's just gunslinging all over the place. It just seems like the quarterbacks are a lot more comfortable and the plays are, you know, getting called easier. And man, these offenses are just clicked week one. No rust. These guys are just throwing the ball. I can imagine that, like, when we get into the throes of like the middle of the season, when these quarterbacks are really clicking and all the timing is just perfect, man, we're going to see like quarterbacks throwing five TDs a game like nothing. So we'll have to wait and see. Should be exciting.
It could also be the defenses were behind because they haven't hit anybody for real in 9 months or so, you know, for some guys. So,
true,
you know, so that's going to be, I think that's a big part of it, but
they gotta go where they're comfortable with because that's what they know. So you're going to see the top guys, the top wide receivers all went off. Adams, besides Thomas, but Adams, Hopkins, they got the ball a lot and they had to, because because they're all the quarterback knows. Yeah. So if you took those players, you got paid a lot.
No, it's, you know, Allen Robinson, the best thing he can do is just put up numbers, because he's going to be a free agent and, you know, put up numbers, you get paid. That's the way it's going to be. And, you know, Coach Adam Gase, named Frank Gore, the other ageless wonder, starting running back with Le'Veon Bell going on the IR.
Wow. That is, I mean, what year is this? What year is this that Frank Gore is a starting running back in the NFL? What year is
it's 2007.
Wow. Okay. Hey, well, you know what? Let's watch and see what happens. Because man, exactly. The ageless wonder. That's amazing. That in 2020, Frank Gore is a starting running back.
What's going on in New York? Technically, New Jersey. Like, what's going on with Bell? Is this like a Bell Gase issue?
No, hamstring.
Three weeks. I know, but it's like this dude just does not want to play for this team.
Well, part of it was that Bell was already dinged up and Gase sent him back in the game. And Gase actually said if he had it to do over again, he would not have sent him back in the game. So, this will be something when we preview their game against the 49ers. But, let's think about whether you'd want to start Gore against that San Francisco defense.
San Francisco defense.
What about this, though, guys? Do you get rid of Bell if you're an owner? Because, for example, if you have Michael Thomas, you keep him throughout his injury. But would you tell owners of Le'Veon Bell that they should just get rid of him and save their losses? Or do you think there's still anything there?
No, as long as you got an IR spot, put him in the IR spot. Pick up another week player.
One. Yeah, it's only week one. Yeah. You know, hang on to him.
Yeah, now IR isn't 8 weeks.
I have no hope for him. Week five or beyond.
I believe me, I avoid. He was one of the guys I avoided completely.
Just I told you, I have Thomas, Bell, and Kittle, so I want to get rid of Bell so bad.
Well, last bit of cheesement. Philip Lindsay possibly has turf toe, and he's getting a second opinion, which is never a good thing.
Right.
And he's expected to miss multiple weeks. I mean, I've seen turf toe last over a month, maybe month and a half.
Oh yeah. Antonio Gates had turf toe, and he was out forever. Pretty much caused his whole career to go down.
But I honestly, and again, we'll get into this more when we get into the Broncos and Steelers. But this definitely puts all the opportunities in the hands of Melvin Gordon. Maybe a couple here and there for Royce Freeman. So
and he needed that after that fumble.
He did. Sure,
they
did.
Were not going to trust him, and now they kind of have to. And he got rewarded with a touchdown. So I think Melvin Gordon, people who picked him up late because no one picked him up, they're going to actually get a caballo right now. And I think that's probably the best news out of all these injuries, because all the other injuries, you don't want the backup. But on this injury, it's like, wow, it's actually making someone even stronger.
Exactly. It's kind of, in a certain way, it's similar to the Marlon Mack injury taking Jonathan Taylor into a starting position.
That launches Nyheim Hines in it. So that's like a new flower that's emerging.
Totally. Well, let's get into some previews. Here we are on Thursday. We're sending out this show on Thursday, and Thursday Night Football is Cincinnati at Cleveland. Hector, Burrow.
Go ahead.
Dígame, primo.
Kick it off.
What do you think, Joe Burrow?
Yes. So let's begin. Cleveland's favored by 6, over under 43.5. This. I can't see Cleveland winning this game. we've talked about how my feelings about Cleveland. I see Joe Burrow taking them this week. I was pretty impressed. I think we talked about it a little bit in our last show. He was pretty impressive. You know, in the 2-minute drill at the end of the game, he looked poised. He looked confident. He looked pretty sharp. And you know what? You know, outside of that call, you know, depending on what team you're a fan of, you know, if you're a Cincinnati fan, that was, you know, a weak sauce call, you know, that push off that AJ Green did. And Cincinnati technically could have won the game, you know, if that call hadn't been made. So that possibly could have been a Joe Burrow victory. We saw Cleveland just get butchered, put through the meat grinder by Baltimore. And yes, this is Cincinnati. This is not the Baltimore defense, but I just, after watching Cleveland the first week, I just don't see any way that they can come back and put up any kind of numbers. I have to see it to believe it. for now, I like Cincinnati. I take them over Cleveland. I don't even see how Cleveland's favored in this game. Yes, there's some issues. We got Cleveland DBs are hurt, first off. So there's an issue there. Yes, we got Myles Garrett there going up against Cincinnati's O-line. He may cause some headaches there for Joe Burrow. But again, Joe Burrow looked good back there in the pocket. He looked solid. He looked confident. So I think he'll find his way around. Joe Mixon will open things up with the running game. I have no confidence in OBJ. I have no confidence in Jarvis Landry. Nick Chubb, we'll see. Maybe he could do something. But I just don't even see Cleveland winning this game at all. And they're favored. Take Cincinnati.
The one thing that I look about this game, Cincinnati's defense is so bad. Yeah. They don't have any elite players on their defense. The Cleveland at least has Myles Garrett on their defense, and against that offensive line, I think he's going to get multiple sacks tomorrow. And you know, they've got that great DB Denzel Ward in back there, so they'll have him stick on AJ Green. But to me, this is the prove it game for Baker Mayfield.
Exactly, that's the big thing.
It's a make or break game for Baker Mayfield on what he's going to do. Ricky, yep. What do you think?
Breaker Mayfield. He's going to break. I think Cincinnati, give them some credit. Chargers have a good defense, and they went at him, and he did not turn the ball over five times. I don't know if Cleveland's going to be able to put that same defense on. I see Cleveland overlooking them, still looking at last week's game where they got, you know, their behinds whooped. And I think Cincinnati is going to be, I think it's going to be Burrow's first win. And I think this is going to be the week when people really drop their jaws and say, what is going on with the Browns?
If they lose this game, then it's real. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is going to be.
But I can see it happening.
Easily. Oh, yeah. Totally see it happening. I think the Browns win this game, but I don't think it'll. But I could see it happening where they lose to the Bengals and then just all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
Well, I said loco. Ricky, yeah. take us to Chicago.
This game actually looks fun. I mean, it's New York Giants at the Chicago Bears. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like. Usually that's more of a Hector type thing. But Chicago does have the spread at -5.5, which I don't know. I feel like this game's going to be close to the wire. I'm not sure if the over-under is supposed to be 41.5, but I believe it is. Here's the thing about these teams.
Sorry.
They both suck so bad that when they do their garbage time, that's when you want them. But they're facing each other, so what's going to happen? Daniel Jones, is he going to be able to throw against a solid Chicago pass rush? You know what? He did really good against a good defense in the Steelers. I would say he did really good because he was able to limit turnovers somewhat, and that's going to be big for him this year. And he actually showed that same chemistry with Darius Slayton, who's probably now their number. I've always looked at him as their number one because I like that chemistry right there. The thing is he going to be able to do that to Chicago? I think Chicago's got a lesser defense than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's going to be underrated all year. And then Saquon. Saquon did horrible this past week. I believe Ben Roethlisberger had more yards than Saquon.
Something like that.
So, I mean, this game's got to kind of be a standout for them, but it's still tough for Saquon. He's still got to go against the tough Chicago D. So on the New York Giants offense side, I think the road's going to be harder for them than it is on Mitchell Trubisky. And I think Mitchell Trubisky showed last week that he still has a little bit of something. The problem is this fool's not showing it unless his back's against the wall. And that's not what you want in a quarterback. You want someone who's going to be able to stick it to them every week no matter what. So I think he's got a nice platform right now. The only problem is Allen Robinson doesn't want to be there. So it's just one of those things where I think this game is just going to be a garbage game the whole way. And whatever we think is going to happen is not going to happen. I don't know. Just looking at everything, I just feel like, what do you take about the whole Robinson trade talk? How does that affect whether Miller gets the ball more or the Jimmy Graham, who looked really hot? I believe he did. He get both of Mitchell's touchdowns.
I'm gonna look that up.
You got a lot of attention from Trubisky, so I feel like without Robinson there, it's gonna be real awkward to have to throw Robinson the ball this week after Robinson's talking all this. So as far as Chicago's offense, I still like that passing offense. Big Ben was able to throw all over the Giants. So I love Anthony Miller for this week. I really like Jimmy Graham for this week. The running game, I'm hoping Montgomery can play a little more. Last week, he was more of just like a decoy. But, I mean, I know it's weird to say, but I'm all for Chicago's offense this week. New York's offense, I feel like they didn't show me enough last week to show me that they can do better this week. As far as I know, they're going to do exactly what they did last week this week. So
I don't know. I think if you go back to that one drive when Danny Dimes threw the pick, I mean, he just marched down the field. That was actually really impressive because he actually did a really good job and he did everything right and everything looked good and he was confident. He made the right throws and he did everything correctly from a passing game standpoint. And then the only bad thing was, you know, they're down there at the 5-yard line and he goes to throw the pass. And we don't know, you know, that could have been a TD in somewhere in the end zone, but his arm gets hit, the ball pops up and Pittsburgh gets the pick. But, you know, he marched down the field. I think they started, you know, somewhere within the 20-yard line. I think he came all the way down, brought them all the way down the field, and he did a really good job. So that was impressive. He hit Slayton just all over the place. And that was impressive to me, too. Like you said, he's clearly the number one. Sterling Shepard was kind of like an afterthought.
But that's why, heck, do you see anything else for anyone other than Slayton?
No. Well, Saquon's got to get it going. If Chicago can open things up, you know, for Danny Dimes.
Hearing a lot of ifs.
Yeah, I know. But that's because does anyone on the planet think that Saquon will have another dud? Will crap the bed twice in a row? I don't think so. Saquon Barkley
50 yards and one touchdown is a dud.
He 6 yards rushing.
That's a super dud.
Six yards rushing. Saquon Barkley got 6 yards rushing. I mean, wow. He's not going to do it again. I mean, He's not going to do that. So I think the running game.
Don't doubt Chicago's run defense.
Yeah, we'll see.
All they work on is what Pittsburgh did and just shut down Saquon. Then that forces Danny Dimes to have to beat you.
Yeah.
And he can, but then you also see that he can make those mistakes too. So what would you rather bet on? And I think Chicago's going to make the same bet Pittsburgh made.
Don't doubt it.
And don't forget, the Bears still have Khalil Mack. They're just ready to make a life hell for Danny Dimes. Mm-hmm. That bad offensive line is just going to be tough. And just to answer your question,
It's going to go anyway. It really could go anyway.
Graham caught one touchdown. Anthony Miller got another one, and then someone named Javon Mims scored one. So, this one I think has sneaky potential. I actually think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be less than even though it's in Chicago. I think the Giants are going to. I don't know if the Giants win, but I think they cover. I think this is going to be a field goal game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take us down to Dallas.
This looks like a fun one.
Is going to be fun. Dallas is favored by 4 points with a high number for over under at 52.5. I mean, this is a game you just fire up everybody. Mateo Yello, to me on the Atlanta side, you even played Russell Gage. On the chance that he's going to be I don't know if he gets 100 yards again. But I think he's going to get targeted just because Dallas is going to be putting up points and they're going to need to try and keep up. Atlanta's going to need to try and keep up. This is going to be an amazing game. To me, the only question on the Atlanta side, and again, fire up Todd Gurley, fire up Julio Jones, fire up Calvin Ridley. To me, the question is Hayden Hurst. How involved is Hayden Hurst on Sunday? Is he going to get – because I'm starting him on one of my leagues, and I'm kind of like, ooh, you know, I've got my boy Mike Gesicki as his backup, and I was like, ooh, well, I'm giving him a week. I'm giving Hurst another week because Gesicki's going against Dallas, against Buffalo. But and on the other side, it's like I think this is going to be a game where Dak really wants to try and get himself, get himself more established, more in rhythm. And he's going to, I think he's going to throw a ton. And he found Cooper a lot last week. I think he's going to be looking for all three of his big guns because of the fact that Blake Jarwin is out for the season. I don't think he's going to be spending time throwing to Dalton Schultz. I think CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup are going to eat up some of the targets that would have gone to Jarwin. And I mean, Cooper got targeted 14 times last year. And of course, Zeke is going to eat. He was fantastic last week, and I can't see him doing anything different today.
I just don't like talking good about the Cowboys. So, I mean, I have my doubts, but it's like,
how can you doubt this week?
I'm not gonna doubt him. That's the thing. I just Atlanta's my mama said, horrible. Don't say anything if you have nothing good to say. So, I think you're right. Atlanta's defense is horrible. I would put anyone on there. I mean, they are. They're going to pass all over them. And CeeDee Lamb got some action, surprisingly, last week. So it's like, why not take advantage of it?
Yep.
And it's going to be a high-firing game. And I would definitely get a piece of Russell Gage, for sure. He was targeted just as much as Ridley. So
and Julio. They've all got 12 targets.
And that's why it's about time that Gage get his TDs, so get on him. Hayden Hurst, I mean, if Gesicki wasn't going against Buffalo, I'd say just go with your heart. But it's tough to pass Hurst when you know he's going to have to be in a high-scoring offense.
Yeah, plus my heart is corazón roto right now because it's a couple of heartbreaking losses. So I'm
leave that out.
Hector, you want to take us out to Wisconsin?
Let's go to Wisconsin, where the cheeseheads hang out, milking the cows. Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay favored by 6. Over-under is a healthy 49.5. This will be a high-scoring affair. I think Green Bay covers. Take Green Bay minus the 6. I think Aaron Rodgers has lit it up last week. 364 yards, 4 touchdowns in a rusty Week 1 appearance. I see more of that. Detroit's defense is middle of the road, nothing too impressive there. I think Aaron Rodgers just eats him up. Again, Stafford, of course, coming from behind. And the big question that, you know, that the main thing that that's going to determine any of this is Kenny Golladay. Is Kenny Golladay going to be healthy? Because if he's healthy, then that bodes well for Matt Stafford. He may even be a sit option if Golladay doesn't play. Even though I have him, it feels horrible to say that. Because, yes, Marvin Jones is there. TJ Hawkinson is there. But Kenny G did not practice on Wednesday. I'm afraid of that. Their running game doesn't know how to catch passes, as we saw with DeAndre Swift dropping just a meatball that, you know, just landed right in his hands to win the game. And he so no confidence at all in the running game catching anything. So you got basically Marvin Jones, TJ Hawkinson. And it may be a long day for the Detroit Lions. If Golladay doesn't play, I see Aaron Rodgers just beating them to a pulp. Minus 6, I think Green Bay wins at least by 2 touchdowns, maybe more. But yeah, I'm looking at Matt Stafford. Hopefully, if he can sling it around and you know, get some open guys and get some touchdowns, that might happen. You know, but if Golladay doesn't play, I just see the Detroit Lions is probably just getting blown out here.
Ricky, what do you make of this backfield split with the Lions?
I want nothing to deal with it. And it's only because Adrian Peterson is like a gremlin, man. He just doesn't go away. He's timeless. So it's like he ruins it. He's amazing. He's an amazing specimen. But he ruins fantasy football for DeAndre Swift. Because before Adrian Peterson, DeAndre Swift was going to beat out Johnson. Now Swift only gets maybe 30% of the carries, if that. And AP's going to look good, not just okay. So it's like, how do you sit that? How do you let DeAndre Swift really take hold of it? So it's like, it sucks. I hate committees.
Just no committees. I mean, I'm really hoping that Swift starts to assert himself and become a bigger part of this.
But how? Offense. I just don't see how he can.
We'll start catching those touchdowns.
Right.
One way. That'd be one thing.
Burn.
Como me hizo. I don't want to call the players' names, but damn, that pissed me off. So
yeah,
eso me dejó, me hizo cosa.
Nah, it would have made me feel bad. It would have made me feel bad because I also missed those two Dobbins touchdowns. I would have missed a swift one too.
I was gonna add if you've got wide receivers on the Green Bay side, fire them all up. We talked about firing up all your Dallas receivers and your Falcons receivers. Definitely fire up all your Green Bay receivers. You got Valdez Scantling, you got Lazard, you got of course Devontae Adams. So MVS and went off the waiver wires for sure. If you haven't scooped him up yet, go grab him. Lazard, same thing. But yeah, the Green Bay wide receivers are definitely going to eat healthily this week.
So you drank the Kool-Aid that they're ready. That MVS and Alan Lazard are ready to be Robin to Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I think last week was like practice. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was just throwing the ball around, and everybody was just open. You know, hey, here's one for you, one for you. It's like trick or treating. Here's one for you, and here's another one for you. Here's another one for you, and. You know, these guys are just gobbling them up. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why they just can't be a repeat performance. Detroit's defense is nothing special, you know, so I don't see any reason why he couldn't do it again.
All right. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Ricky, ¿qué dices?
This one's a little fun because I think both teams had a different type of team the week before. So Jacksonville got to play Phillip Rivers, so they had to fight against a deep threat. And then the running game was very scattered. But this week they get to go against Tennessee, who's got a solid running game with one guy, Derrick Henry, the Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that guy's kind of good.
And then a quarterback who's like a game time manager who I've been telling y'all is whack. And that's why you shouldn't be getting A.J. Brown. But y'all were like, oh, no, he's a great pick.
I didn't get A.J. Brown.
Bro, you wanted him bad, though. I know you wanted him.
I still do, but we'll see. I didn't pick him, but if he's available.
You can get him cheap. You can get him cheap, but trust me, you'll always be paying too much for him. So
I'm not looking for him. Just
and I feel like Jacksonville proved that they were going to hold Phillip Rivers back, so they're definitely going to hold Ryan Tannehill back. I would not bet on A.J. Brown getting a deep ball. It's just, I don't know. The way these teams played, if you look at the Tennessee-Denver game, Denver didn't have their best defense as far as the men on the field, but they held a strong game. Jacksonville's got an okay defense. Like I said, they're able to hold Phillip Rivers, so I feel like unless Derrick Henry just pounds through this team, you're going to see Jacksonville able to just throw over them. And that's because Jacksonville didn't really see a threat with Tannehill. Now all of a sudden they are, but the big Achilles heel, now that I think about it, is who's going to run the damn ball for Jacksonville? They decided?
It's Mr. Robinson. It's Mr. Sure. Robinson's neighborhood. Yeah, he's the only one healthy.
It's not Shoelace Robinson. I loved him. Do you remember him? The quarterback for Michigan turned running back.
Oh my God, yes, I remember him now.
And he came out during a situation kind of like this where their main running back got injured and it's like, who's going to run the ball? So hopefully James Robinson, after getting 16 carries and 62 yards with the one reception, 28 yards, I hope he can build on that. I like how Minshew looked. He just looked crisp at certain points. It's hard to find a better word other than crisp for someone who threw 95% accuracy, 19 for 20. So I just feel like Tennessee's going to see something different because before they got Locke, and they're going to see a lot more of an aggressive team. I don't think Denver was ready. Denver was still looking through Gordon and Lindsey, and now I feel like Tennessee's going to get smacked in the jaw, and I'm excited for it because I'm tired of people holding up Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown. So I love Derrick Henry, but I just don't think the team is ready to be good every week.
Well, Tennessee's favored by 9, Rick. So you're saying that Vegas has completely lost their mind.
I'm saying that I think Jacksonville will keep it by like 3.
But you think Jacksonville will win? What you're saying? I mean, it sounds like you're saying
that Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville has a better chance to win than people give them for sure. Okay. I think they're going to be able to throw over Tennessee. That's what I think.
Gotcha. Oh, that might be Tennessee. A good bet. That might be a good bet to take.
Yeah, Tennessee did not show a good pass defense last year, and they didn't look You know, they didn't look great against the pass, you know, against Denver. I look at this game. I'm looking at the over-under of 41.5. That seems low to me because I think these two teams are going to throw a lot. I know Tennessee is going to want to establish the run with Derrick Henry, but I looked back at Tannehill's game last year. He threw two touchdowns and then ran in two touchdowns the one game he played against Jacksonville last year. So, I think neither team's gonna do much against the pass. So there's gonna be some points scored.
I do not like looking at last year because last year Dalvin Cook ran all over Green Bay, and you did not see that last week.
Yeah. So, well, they couldn't because Rodgers got up on them so quickly, and they were playing catch
game,
up the whole time.
Game script. One more point to make on this game. Corey Davis and AJ Brown were targeted the exact same number of times at 8. I don't think anyone saw that coming, but yeah, Corey Davis is definitely someone that Tannehill is keeping an eye on,
to be a high pick, and now no one even has him on their team.
So AJ Brown may not necessarily be that super stud on the Tennessee offense.
Because I want to see him do it 2 weeks in a row. I've seen him have the big games, and then all of a sudden it's like he disappears for a month.
AJ
Brown.
I remember.
AJ Brown will be over a thousand, way well over 1,000 yards.
Oh my God, that's a beer bet.
I hear beer bet.
That's a beer bet.
Write it down, George.
I've got a spreadsheet with it.
He's already only got 40 yards.
Oh, come on. We've seen Julio Jones have 40 yards and then end up with 600.
He's averaging like 600 yards. So, I mean.
We're going to see. We got a beer bet, Primo.
All right.
Let's go over to Indy. Minnesota at Indianapolis. Another game. I mean. I know Phillip Rivers had two interceptions last week, one touchdown, but he got 363 yards, and he's gonna get some play this weekend. That Minnesota pass defense just looked like it was a pincushion last week.
Trash.
Not good. They were not good.
Disappointing.
I think Phillip's going to throw a lot, and this could be a domination for the Colts because they are I think Phillip's going to spread his wings a little bit in his new home stadium. T.Y. Hilton and Paris Hilton, I think,
Paris Hilton. I love that. That's
T.Y. Campbell.
The combination of Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton. I love that.
Ah, that's so funny.
That's awesome.
The other interesting thing is how are they going to spread the running back workload between Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines? How many catches is Hines going to get?
They are going to throw to them so much. If you look what they did last week. I mean, you're talking like seven or eight receptions for each of them.
Both
because the way the game script's going to go is Phillip Rivers is just going to throw, and that's going to be their running game is those short passes.
Yep.
And I look over at Minnesota, and it's just like the guys who are startable every week, to me, it's just Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen.
Yeah. Very thin.
In a super flex or two QB leagues, yeah, definitely Cousins. And I think this is he could be a sneaky play in DFS this week because I think he could be cheap. And this game's got a high over under. Cousins could be a guy to target. Maybe stack him with Thielen and go grab a Christian McCaffrey or somebody like that. So that'll be something.
Save that much money by getting them, but.
Not much.
Well, yes, I see where you're going, and I think that's not bad because I think he can definitely get three touchdowns. Indianapolis's defense is stronger than what they appear, though.
They were better. I agree. I think they are better than what they showed last week. They just need to show it because they needed to have a better game than they did against Jacksonville. You know, again, first game, away game, so you never know.
Interdivisional. They always make them close.
Hector, take us to Miami.
Oh, let's go to Miami. First of all, everyone was saying, or many folks were saying, that, oh, Josh Allen, you know, this guy, you know, this guy can't, he's not consistent. He can't throw for over 300 yards. And For what does he do in his first game
of the season? Hog the ball.
He throws for over 300 yards. I like Buffalo in this game. They're favored by 5. I think they win by more than that because they're playing against Miami, and it is Miami. I have no confidence in Miami at all. As far as the Buffalo side, you have Zach Moss, you have Singletary. We're talking about committees. I don't know who you start from a fantasy standpoint. I have Zach Moss. He did have a touchdown last week, but they're just going to split things up. How that's going to play out this coming game against Miami, who knows? I don't know if either of those guys has any kind of advantage in this game, one or the other. Stephon Diggs is Stephon Diggs. You know, it seems that that Allen and Diggs have a nice chemistry there. I look for Diggs to go off of this game. John Brown, especially one of the reasons why, especially John Brown did miss practice. Will he play on Sunday? Will he be 100%? We'll have to wait and see. But if he's not 100%, if he's got some issues, or if he doesn't play, Stephon Diggs is going to be a definite target monster for the game. Tight end Dawson Knox, will he be a factor? We shall see. On the Miami side, you have, of course, Fitzmagic, who has not really been magic, or wasn't magic. We talked about Devontae Parker. He's already hurt. I don't know how this is all going to play out for Miami. They're obviously a work in progress. I just see Buffalo running all over them. I think they definitely went by way more than 5 points this game.
I'm going to just tell you this right now. Miami is a dumpster fire. Get away. Tua is like a long shot hold in two quarterback leagues, and maybe Gesicki for those who are like fanboys, like Georgie. But other than that, you don't need anyone on this team. They're just trash. Like, and I mean that with the utmost respect because they're professionals. But they're trash, man. That no one should trust that running game. And the only thing they got going for them is maybe their defense is okay. But other than that, Buffalo's going to kill them. Yeah. I just hope that Singletary gets to join in the fun because Josh Allen stole the ball. Like, he hogged the ball the whole game. And finally he started throwing it more. And it's just like, man, I see what they're trying to do there. And it's nice. Josh Allen's going to kind of be able to make a name for himself and be the captain of the team because they really do need a leader. And now that they have him, it's like, all right, let Singletary get the ball, start hitting people in their jaw, because that's what I see in that team. I feel like they need to be a run-heavy team, and then the passing will just be easy to them.
Yeah. To me, the one thing is to watch for, you know, up until a week ago, Josh Allen had never thrown for 300 yards in an NFL game.
Right.
Could he do it 2 weeks in a row? I think everything is laid out for him to do that again.
Got the opponents to do it against.
It's Miami. It's exactly, a best shot to do it. The question is, does he throw for 400 yards? That's the question.
No, because he's going to have to run one
after week two because his stats are going to be like inflated.
Oh man, people! Yeah, whoever, I don't know who has him in our
league. I think Nico drafted him.
Oh man, he could sell him like Lamar Jackson last year if he has a big game, especially if he keeps running like he did last week.
No, he'll make a bad trade
with you.
With you, Rick.
With anyone, it appears.
Oh man, well, that's it for the first half of our weekly previews. And eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please subscribe and leave us a review at Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, keep following us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. You can find me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter, and Hector.
What the heck at what the heck is my Twitter
with two T's
with two T's. HATTDAHEC. What the heck?
Well, gracias, everybody. Remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.
Y viva México.
Viva.